We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, welcome to College Sports Now. It is the Tuesday edition, week three. Server's in the building. Con is across from me. Kyle Schatzberger is here as well. I'm on Twitter, at Kyle Schatz, at SportsCon4, at L_Cerberino. Serbs, where you at? Are you in your office? Are you back home? We missed you last week, man. You look like you're coming to us from, like, an exotic location as we discuss all the fun happenings in college baseball after the second full weekend.
I am in my home office. This is not my diploma behind me. This is my wife's. I'm but a lowly tech school graduate. But no, I'm glad to be with you guys. Sorry I wasn't able to join last week. I myself am getting over a bit of a sinus infection, cold. I think it was a sinus infection. It wasn't COVID. This is getting sick in 2023. You automatically assume, right? Oh, I have COVID again. I took a bunch of tests. Luckily, didn't have that, so... But this has not been fun either, so it's going to be a contest to see whose voice holds up over the next couple days, mine or the venerable Kyle Schatzberger.
Well, you're seeing our Twitter handles scroll across the bottom of the screen. Con, solicit the listeners, the watchers, the onlookers, as normally we're live at 11 o'clock every Tuesday, but coming an hour early, we've got a hard out coming up at 11. I'm hitting the road to go to Greenville for the SEC Women's Basketball Tournament. I'm going to let you guys carry a lot of the load. I'm going to be able to interject, but yes, I'm recovering. My voice certainly, so the sinuses, everything, man. I feel like I've experienced every bit of sickness, including probably COVID already earlier this year. So how are you feeling?
I'm okay. I mean, the cold weather always messes with my allergies too. I think my voice is the strongest of us three, but we've both been calling so many games that our voices are not used to this, right? Like, we're used to being in the studio and doing updates here and there a couple times a week and then doing this podcast for an hour. Our voices are usually fresh and vibrant and ready to go, and now you and I are just in the war of dealing with these college baseball non-conference games. You've done some softball, had a basketball game on Sunday. You've got the SEC tournament. I've got the ACC tournament this week, so we're both struggling a little bit, and our boy Cerber is certainly chugging right alongside us. Hopefully, once we get through these next couple of weeks, we'll have a second to relax, breathe, and potentially get our voices back to full strength for, you know, when we don't need them until May.
We're going to talk three up, three down, give you a schedule preview, the lineup card for the weekend, our dudes, and a hat tip as well. We can start in a number of different places. 12 remaining undefeated teams in college baseball. Tony Vitello, Tennessee, a self-imposed, as it was communicated to us on Friday, suspension. And, you know, my thought was, okay, this is to get Mahi Ahuna eligible because the eligibility issues from the first weekend of college baseball. Sure enough, there was an announcement from Tennessee on Monday stating that Tony Vitello is back with the team and Mahi Ahuna has been reinstated. The Kansas transfer, who will be playing middle infield, second base, right?
Second base. Yeah.
For the Volunteers. So Wake Forest, is that the new Tennessee power team in 2023? We've got a recap of the Round Rock Classic with LSU took home because of run differential in spite of even losing a game against Iowa over the weekend. Texas A&M struggling. Florida State with a statement being made by the Seminoles and Link Jarrett against TCU. So many places. But Con, Serbs, Serba, this is going to be you and I ganging up on Khan, but leave it up to this man, okay, Genghis Khan, to be the one that blasts a person who hits reply all in an email thread last week and then gets in a text thread and very hypocritically, okay, replies to everyone in a text thread trying to throw shade at the person who replied all in an email.
No. You don't get to defend yourself
I
yet.
I do.
That is a completely accurate description of what happened. Someone replied all to an email chain to everyone in the office, which we all go like, you didn't need to do that.
Quick
like,
roll of the eyes.
Share a laugh. Yeah. Individually, Khan takes it upon himself, the Khan artist, decides to come in to the group text thread for the entire office and say, how about that person replying all, huh? My response immediately, sort of like you, huh?
Listen.
Unbelievable.
Let me just clarify this.
You cannot blast somebody for something you're about to do.
Okay, but here's the thing. The reply all on the email thread I was referencing was to everybody in both offices across Learfield, Jeff City, Winston-Salem. It was everyone. My text went to 10 people, just the coordinators, and it was to comment on the fact that there was no unearthly reason for the reply alls that we were getting to this thread that were filling up our inbox when we are all extremely busy and getting loads of other emails that are important, and these emails are just people commenting in something that they could have said in a three-person group thread and gone, ha, ha, ha,
here's
this is funny.
It was important.
I get important texts. We get important texts, right, Chas? We get important texts. We don't need your text filling up our text inbox.
So I will defend the person who actually hit reply all because we were significantly handicapped in our ability to efficiently do our job for a couple of weeks.
The initial message was correct.
Yes, yeah. But if somebody, because it is so life-changing in the moment that we now have a new tool to be able to use to do our jobs to, replace what it is that we hadn't been able to do, you know, without getting into the nitty-gritty details, I actually can allow this one. I can pass somebody hitting a reply all because it impacted us all in so many different ways.
It did, but the reply all was literally just, wow, what a great feature. Unnecessary email.
Well, I would have preferred a reply all in like a meme of some sort or a GIF, but yeah. Words, whatever.
It was unnecessary.
But again, you're a hypocrite. So, okay. Serber, by the way, he texted me saying he hates old people yesterday.
No one.
He said the same guy that hypocritically replies and blows up a group text thread to throw shade on somebody who hit reply all in an office email thread said he hates old people.
Okay. Can I defend myself on this one? Am I allowed? Or do you want to take
what? The old people came before us. You're supposed to respect your elders. My man, maybe you need to start hitting from the senior tees to learn some respect.
All right. This guy just, gets really good at golf and starts throwing, haymakers at everyone. All right. Listen.
I'm not good. Golf is hard.
It is. The context of this is that I was at the gym yesterday at an abnormal time for me. I normally go in the 1 to 2 o'clock range because unlike Shass, I don't need to put on a show when I'm at the gym. I just want to go in, get my workout done, and get out. That's what I want to do. Yesterday, I went at 9 in the morning because I had stuff to do later in the day, and I had a late game, 9 p.m. tip last night. So I was like, I'm going to get my workout done early so I can stay here, do my job efficiently and effectively after getting a morning pump in. I go in, and the gym is slogged. I mean, it is packed to the gills, and it's packed to the gills with all of the older people doing their personal training sessions.
This guy is hating on old
people.
And I'm
not hating on it. It was just something that I didn't expect to see. It was something I didn't expect to see. It was an observation. I'm an observationalist, right? I see things with my eyes, and I describe them with my mouth. So I texted Shaz, because we were already texting about baseball, that I said, hey, this is a weird time for me to be at the gym. I need to come at a different time because I didn't expect this type of thing to be, going on right now. And it was a little distracting. That's all I said. I never said I hated old people. I just said it was something I was not expecting. And I didn't really want to be in the gym with that many people because I'm not, a performer like Shass is in the gym. I'm still learning. I'm still grooming myself workout-wise. Once I get to the level of the Shassimal, then maybe I'll be okay with this. But for right now, I didn't want all these eyeballs on me and have to look around and see all these other people doing their personal training sessions. I just want an empty gym with exercises that I know how to do, go in, get her done, and we're out.
He's texting me. Here's what he said, and this is not a quote because I'm gonna make the language a little more appropriate for this family show.
Oh boy,
here this morning. But he's texting me about the baseball pod and content. You know, we're trying to keep each other up to speed on things we might miss. Sometimes intentionally we withhold information to see if they line up once we go live on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, wow, totally missed Oklahoma State through back-to-back no-hitters. And then he says, side note, I got to stop coming to the gym at 9 a.m. because these personal training sessions with the old people is wild.
Yes, it was wild.
God.
That's correct. That does not mean I hate this old people.
This is all an excuse to continue to tell people that he's been at the gym working out. He's got – did you guys know that Khan's been going to the gym working out? Did anyone know that?
Khan, you've been lifting,
I
bro?
Haven't heard him talk about it,
you know,
even
what?
Once.
You wouldn't know that I've been at the gym because you walk by me all the time and I wave at you and you're
Dude,
so
I'm
engrossed
in
your phone or whatever you're doing that you barely acknowledge me at the gym. And
yeah.
We go to the same gym. I see you all the time.
It's been a morning too, man. I had to get up. You hear that? I'm so glad my voice. Again, I got to take it easy. I'm going to try not to talk a lot, which, you know, many of you will not believe. But I was up at 6, got my daughter ready, got the dog in the car, took my dog to my buddy's because he's going to be there all week while I'm in Greenville. Took my daughter to school, ran to the gym, got in there at 8 a.m., lift 50 minutes. I ran a mile and a half, so I'm going to have to run
That's
more
really
later when
you.
We get to Greenville.
Yeah.
And I just, dude, no break between reps, buys and tries, just hammered out my arms. I was dripping sweat. I'm still wearing the same underwear. I didn't have time to shower. Like, it is a sweaty, juicy situation.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah.
I'm very uncomfortable right now, so let's talk baseball,
okay.
Please.
Well, look, you went through plenty of stuff. We also need to hit on the East Carolina-North Carolina series because that was the series of the weekend. No question about it. The intensity that was felt in Greenville and Chapel Hill was phenomenal. You mentioned Portland and Texas A&M. Got to hit on that as well. And then Enrique Bradfield, been thrown out 3 times already this year. The 50 stolen base mark, I don't know, man. Might not be there. And
he's been thrown out three?
3 times.
Oh, gosh.
Twice against UCLA.
So we were talking when it was twice.
Yes, now it's 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the third time was against UCLA.
Yeah, so twice against UCLA, once on Saturday, once on Sunday.
By the way, Vanderbilt, they gave that series away in game two because they were getting too overly aggressive and overzealous on the base pass.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in the first inning when Bradfield got thrown out. The pitcher was all over the place. The catcher threw out 2 base runners
for
UCLA.
Perry.
Yeah. That guy's a stud.
Yeah, I got a story on him, by the way, later. Remind me. Actually, not on him, but involves him. And then, actually, we got to bring in Michael Serber on this one. Serbs, UCF disrespecting your boys. I mean, what's going on in Death Valley?
Listen, man, I can't get emotional about Clemson baseball in February, but what I can do is get emotional about Clemson football in February, and you do not disrespect the Hill. And you do not disrespect the Hill with – wasn't John Reese Plumlee, isn't he, like, there at UCF playing baseball or something like
he
that?
He is.
He had
and
2 homers.
Yeah. I don't appreciate – yeah, working in defense of Swag Kelly after we kicked him off the team for being lousy. I was very disappointed in this, and we will get our revenge when there's a 2014 playoff in college football and UCF can actually make it. It won't happen till then, but when it does, we're going to get that ass.
Not only did UCF sweep Clemson and then run down the Hill, which is Clemson's tradition, right?
Yep.
The only thing, I didn't see Howard's Rock there, but they ran down the Hill.
Tradition like unlike any other.
The most
exciting 25 seconds in college football.
I didn't see anybody stand out trying to like emulate Dabo though with his dead-on sprint. They kind of just all huddled together. It was a slow jog. Like they didn't even lean into it.
I don't think they had the idea.
Like,
I think it was a spur of the moment thing.
Yeah,
like, let's go run down the hill.
Not only did they insult Clemson football and Clemson baseball in the process, but they also have more of a quarterback in John Rhys Plumlee than even Clemson has, and he's killing it on the diamond.
Yeah. No.
Excuse me? Excuse me? Are you disrespecting my man Cade Klubnik?
Them's are facts.
Texas 5A high school sports Gatorade player of the year, like ACC champion in his first ever start, Cade Klubnik? Get out of my face, man. I ain't got time for that.
Great name.
Time for that
great
business.
Name, by the way. Klubnik, great name.
What do you do against Notre Dame?
Okay, listen. You put my boy in at the 5-yard. Just wait. Just wait. I've seen Sam Hartman plenty of times as a Clemson fan. I've seen Sam Hartman. Guess how many times he's beaten my squad? 0. Correct. He's never done it. And he ain't going to do it at Notre Dame this year either. And by the way, y'all got to come to the Valley this time. Remember what happened last time we were in the Valley? Brian Kelly shit his pants when he walked into the stadium. Couldn't believe it was friggin' full in the middle of a rainstorm.
Friendly show, no more.
Yeah, it's fine. I have a feeling.
You remember his face? He was terrified.
He
should have been.
I tried to forget Brian Kelly's face, but then somehow he ended up with another team that I tend to pull for in LSU. So it's kind of unavoidable. It's less red these days, though. That's for sure.
If you guys have any venerable hot takes to include with Cerber, Shass, and myself, you can live comment on this stream at CS Now Tweets. Find the stream, comment there. I think you can also comment on the Varsity YouTube channel stream. I've got both up. I'm monitoring the comment section. Send some comments. We'll read them on the show. If you have questions, let us know. You know, you can be about anything because we haven't talked about baseball at all, and we are 15 minutes into the show. So,
Should we talk baseball? What do you want to talk about? You want to talk UNC ECU?
I think we should start there.
Yeah, yeah. They had the middle game postponed. I don't know where they were supposed to play on Saturday.
So it was 2 in Greenville, 1 in Chapel Hill.
All right. So they came back from a 3-0 deficit in the eighth inning with a 6-run eighth in front of a record crowd as well at LeClaire. 6,003 people. Mm-hmm. Bonkers. We all know what the Jungle can provide and how it delivers from an atmosphere standpoint. I mean, there was a guy falling over the wall, ready to get lifted up over the wall. I mean, it was as intense as it can get. And then Carolina rallied for 2 more runs and left the game tying run on base there as ECU closed the door, and they had to rally again on Sunday.
Yeah, they had 4 runs in the 7th on Sunday, but I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is how good the ECU bullpen was versus how bad UNC's bullpen was. And it wasn't that they were, like, you know, awful. The numbers weren't gross, but, I mean, 6-run eighth is going to hurt you. They just couldn't get the outs. Like, they couldn't put away any hitters, and ECU went from the American Athletic Conference Pitcher of the Year last year in Carter Spivey to a freshman in Zach Root. Didn't matter who they threw on the mound. I mean, they were just humming it in there and getting rid of North Carolina. They came in pressure situations. They locked down very tough hitters because UNC is a formidable team, as are the Pirates. That's the biggest thing that stood out to me, is that ECU can trust anybody in their bullpen right now to go get a big out, and that's going to prove huge dividends come May and June.
So ECU has Duke here in the midweek on Tuesday. By the way, my favorite midweek game, I know we'll get to this in the lineup card, but LSU's playing at Texas tonight in Austin. But that's going to be really interesting to see how ECU and Duke in a midweek game from a pitching standpoint, how that shakes out.
Duke swept Baylor.
Duke swept Baylor, put up a school record for a weekend in runs and hits. I think it was 52 and 37 hits. 52 runs, 37 hits. Jesus. Insane. 52-7, they outscored Baylor over the weekend. I mean, Baylor is bad. I mean, so bad. Coaching change, Mitch Thompson coming from the community college ranks. I mean, it's a total rebuild, and it's a slow burn. But the Blue Devils hitters impressed for sure. It was fun to call that on Sunday. I'll be back on with them against App State next week. App State's one of those 12 remaining unbeatens.
Yep, 7-0 in the Sun Belt.
Should we give him some love now in case Matt Prezant is listening so he can stop or watch?
Yeah, Matt Prezant, if you're listening, let's go other Mountaineers. App State, 7-0. Take the stairs, right? That's their saying?
Take the stairs.
Yeah.
UCF celebration, Enrique Bradfield, UNC ECU. Before we get to Round Rock, let's talk about Texas A&M.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. First of all, let me just say that Portland should have completed the sweep. Good job for A&M to rally for 3-9 on Sunday and take the sweep away. The only reason they scored that winning run is because the catcher dropped the ball. That throw from Wright was on the money. One hopper, and the catcher didn't hold on to the ball, so A&M was able to bring that run home. That was an awful send by Schloss, but A&M barely staves that off. They also lost in the midweek to unbeaten Lamar, so not a bad loss, but not a good one. And that was a 7-4 loss. They've been outscored 17-1 in their 3 losses this week. That's the most stunning thing about A&M right now, is they're not hitting. They're hitting .230 as a team. Austin Boast, who we were, you know, salivating over in Hoover last year, hitting .080. Trevor Werner, who hit a couple of bombs at the SEC tournament and was a stalwart in that lineup all season last year, .174 for Texas A&M. I mean, the Aggies just aren't hitting. They really aren't.
Yeah, Ryan Targotch, right?
Yeah.
.174 and Warner's .154.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad numbers. Bad numbers. The one thing, and for any A&M fans who are sitting there, you know, worrying and chewing their nails already after week 2, you do got to remember, the Aggies lost to Penn, not Penn State, Penn from the Ivy League in week two last year. They lost a series to them. They went to Omaha. So not time to fret yet. Schloss can easily turn this around like he did last year. And A&M was kind of a slow burn to start the year, and they really came on hot in Hoover last year, almost beat Florida in the semifinals to go to the final. Here's the most unfortunate thing from this entire weekend, Chaz. You remember Mr. Savage backflip from Portland, their closer, Peter Allegro?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who blew the save on Sunday.
Oh, man. Serber, you remember that guy when we talked about him last year, the backflipper from Portland? Yes, he blew the save Sunday with the chance to sweep.
He blew can you imagine a Savage sweep backflip from Peter Allegro in College Station when they complete the sweep over A&M, but he blew it? He only got one out.
That's a
I can't imagine it. It didn't happen.
I know, but in my head, it looks so beautiful. It would have been the greatest thing I've seen all weekend if he did.
And the backflip has, like, that's potential for all Shass team recognition right there.
It is.
But the fact that you had a chance to sweep Texas A&M in Aggieland,
yep,
and Mr. Backflipper himself could not complete the dismount against Schlossnagel and company, I think he's forever banished. The door is closed.
He might be.
There's no way that Peter Allegro is getting all Shass team recognition. There's just no way. So you just hate to see it for the Tacoma, Washington dude. What are you pointing at? The time?
No, Serber texted you.
Why is he pointing me? Keep talking.
Well, now the cat's out of the bag. I asked you to take me off camera long enough to blow my
I was trying to be, very discreet about it, but Shass just decided to call it out. All right,
we've talked about it. We're all playing hurt right now.
Should we talk about Round Rock? We're all playing hurt.
I got the chat open now, too, if anybody wants to type in the chat.
Okay, should we talk about Round Rock? I think it's been long enough.
Yeah, so 7-3, Skeens looked human in a Game 1 win over Kansas State, but he bounced back after giving up. Was it a home run early in the first inning? He got into some trouble, he looked like the Terminator again.
It was the same thing that happened last weekend for Skeens. He started rough and recovered and looked really strong. I mean, maybe he's just one of those guys that the first inning he needs to figure things out and then it'll be okay. I'm not worried about Paul Skeens. All these tournaments, first of all, when you're facing all these teams from different conferences that you haven't seen before and you got all these different scouts going on and you're preparing to face three different teams in the same weekend, that's hard. That's really, really hard, okay? Like, it just is. When you get into conference play is when I'm really going to kind of evaluate these pitchers and how they can prepare for a singular team, because it's just so difficult. You've got all this different information coming into your brain, and you're doing it multiple weekends in a row. Like, this coming weekend, we've got, five different tournaments bringing in four or more teams that you have to prepare for? And sometimes you don't know who you're playing until the day of, because it depends on the results from the previous day. So it's really, really difficult. I'm not going to shame Paul Skeens right now for starting shaky because, like you said, he came on strong second straight weekend in a row. He was fine. The team I want to talk about in Round Rock, what?
Server's reaction. So you can't see this, God.
I saw the crawl, sorry.
Get with us. At CS Now Tweets if you're watching live.
I have the stream
yay
up.
Or nay.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, what is the question? Did I know that I went to the gym? Yes, I do. The team I want to talk about, though, Kansas State. Okay. Dud. Absolute dud. I mean, TCU and Kansas State, the two teams we were talking about as saying Big 12 is them and then everyone else. Mm-mm. TCU lost a series to Florida State this weekend. That's a good win for Link Jarrett in his new role at Florida State. Kansas State has lost four in a row. They lost to LSU. Fair loss. Then they lost to Sam Houston State. Not a fair loss. Then they lost to Iowa. Also not a fair loss. They've lost four in a row after they scored 45 runs in the opening series against Stephen F. Austin. We said, don't take too much away from that because it's Stephen F. Austin, but it's a lot of offense. Guess what? Mm-mm. They're back down to earth. Big 12 wide open once again. I'm switching my pick again. The ACC is not the most wide open conference. It is the Big 12. I was right the first time. I should have stuck with my gut.
Come on, man. Do better. Brody Brecht, again, stole some headlines, I think, for me. The Iowa pitcher, who, after being Big Ten Pitcher of the Week last week, what was it, 10 strikeouts in the 15 hitters that he had saw? I got his game log up here. He had a big strikeout game again against LSU in the 12-4 win. However, he walked quite a few guys. He had walked 8 guys, struck out 6, after back-to-back 10 strikeout performances against Quinnipiac He struck out six LSU hitters, but walked eight, allowed only one hit and three and a third. But here's the thing. He got a freebie. As he was walking off, as he exited the game, he got ejected.
What?
Because he said something to the umpires under his breath, but he was already getting removed from the game. Serves, what's your take on that? If you're getting removed from the game as a pitcher, like, you can't – what does an ejection do at that point? Like, say whatever the hell you want. And I don't think he, like, personally
I'm letting it fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Whatever. I mean, as long as he didn't say something, like, you know, nefarious or insulting, like, directly, I think it's fine.
Well, he dropped an F-bomb about the umpire's inability to call strikes.
Yeah, okay. Everybody does that. Listen, everyone does it. This is like it's a referee or an umpire trying to show off, right? They're trying to flex their power over the rest of this game and say, oh, what'd you say? Get out. Like, dude, okay, you're one of the least important people on the field. Let the players do their thing. I'm sorry he dropped the F-bomb on you. Guess what? Maybe you should call a better game, and he won't drop the F-bomb.
How about the two-way players, though? Yeah, John Rhys Plumlee, sorry to bring up again, Serbs, but showing out against Clemson in a sweep, and then Brody Brecht, wide receiver for Iowa, which we know is a meaningless position, but showing again.
He's got, at Iowa, correct, yes.
He's got 26 strikeouts through three appearances.
Hawkeyes, come for this man.
And they were like one run shy, I think, of tying LSU in the total runs for the Round Rock.
They were.
Because LSU on Sunday, what was it, 18-4?
They won 16-4, but they needed to score 12 runs to win the tournament. Well, win the tournament. The Round Rock has that like wrestling belt, right, that they give to the winner. LSU needed 12 runs, I want to say, and they got 16. So they got it done. But
23 hits.
Yeah.
16-4 win. Most hits that LSU has had since 2014. Dylan Cruz had three doubles in the Sunday game. How many hits did he have in total on the weekend? I think he had like 10, 9 or 10.
Know.
He had three doubles on Sunday. Tournament MVP, 5-for-6 showing
Double
against
D.
the Bearcats. Ooh, I like that. We had some Joe bombs. Braden Joubert?
Yeah.
He had two of them. He had five RBIs and two home runs. He was hitting behind Dylan Cruz on Sunday, not Tommy Tanks. Tanks was hitting behind Joubert. Tanks, he's returned to the lineup just as a DH, but
I don't think he's healthy.
He hasn't done anything yet.
I don't think he's healthy. I mean, I'm chalking that up to the fact that his shoulder's messed up. He's not healthy. They're trying to get him some swings to keep him active and not cold when he comes back for conference play. But I think Jay Johnson is being very, very careful with Tommy Tanks right now, and as he should be, right? You need him for conference play. Conference play is what matters. Non-con does matter for some teams. LSU, it ain't going to matter. Now, here's the question. Tennessee didn't lose their second game of the season until mid-April, right, last year?
April 12th, I think it was.
When is LSU losing their second game?
Might be tonight. you know what? Christian Little?
Yeah.
And Thatcher Hurd didn't throw on the weekend. Now, Thatcher Hurd had the midweek game when they blew out Southern, and he was shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Early hat tip, Trey Morgan hit for the cycle in order. We've got another cycle to mention coming up in our Dudes of the Week hat tip as well before we close up shop in roughly 33 minutes. We got a hard out at 11 a.m. Eastern. Coming an hour early every Tuesday, though, normally 11 a.m. at CS Now Tweets, Kyle Schasberger, David Kahn, and Michael Serber. But Trey Morgan hit for the cycle in order. He went single, double. Then I think he flew out in his third at-bat, but then went triple home run against Southern. I think the final was 18-4, but Christian Little did not throw over the weekend. So Christian Little and Thatcher Hurd, like, this could be a game tonight. See who is going to shove, who is going to step up, who is going to say, hey, I want to legitimately and seriously be a contender for the weekend rotation. So we might learn a lot tonight. I'd like to think LSU, because of those two pieces and because of their offense and their order hitting the way it is, and there's a lot of question marks about Texas to this point. I don't know enough about who they're going to put on the mound in the midweek or how they're going to patch it together. I like LSU, but conference play is already, we're what, 2 weeks away? We've got two in the SEC.
March 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some conferences are going to begin league play after this weekend,
right.
Some of the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm. Power
Big
Five
West,
conference play.
ACC, I think, is
Well, there's like a few sprinkling games early, I think, for some of the Power Five. I think a few of the Power Fives have some early, you know, games. Like, we have those tournaments, right? You accidentally get some Power Five, you know, conference play games. But I don't think they count those as conference games when you play in those tournaments? I still think they're registered as non-con.
You know what I'm tired of when I Google search baseball schedules? The 2022 schedule is always still
why?
The top link.
Google, do
it's
better.
It's always the top
do
link.
Do better.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
no, like Wake Forest, for example. What did Wake move up to?
Number two.
They're second in the D1 baseball poll?
No, so they're second in college baseball. They're still number 5 in D1, I believe, but they're as high as number 2 for collegiate baseball. So they're in the top 5 in every poll, but they're number 2 for collegiate baseball.
So Wake.
Do we want to talk Wake? Because I got a ton on Wake.
Well, let me give you when I think LSU loses their second game.
Okay.
But Wake and Duke are going to begin, and then we can pivot to the Deeks, and then 3 up, 3 down. Wake and Duke begin ACC conference play March 10th.
Yep. All
right, so that's a weekend from this upcoming weekend. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're inside of 2 weeks to the start of conference play in the ACC. The SEC is 3 weeks. That's the point I'm trying to make. So a lot of teams are going to be beginning conference play in less than 2 weeks. For others, it's going to be 3. As for LSU, they'll open SEC play, by the way, with Texas A&M on March 17th.
Ooh.
That's going to be in College Station.
Schloss and Jay Johnson? Wow. What a start.
I mean, this would be the game that they lose before then, Texas, because then they go Central Connecticut State for 2, Butler on a Monday, Lamar, Samford for 3. I mean, maybe
Lamar's
sneaky
undefeated
on a Sunday. Could be.
Yeah. I don't know.
Unless Ledbetter and Sonny D are both back playing with Samford. I think the Tigers can maybe take control of them. So
I mean, we're talking about when LSU is going to lose their second game. When is Wake Forest going to lose a game? Because
As soon as they leave the friendly confines of the boombox.
Listen, I agree. That is a hitter park for sure. But the numbers are outstanding. They're astounding, I should say. I mean, I crunched the numbers. I'm calling the Wake baseball game against UNCW later on this afternoon. The offensive numbers are ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. 122 runs in 9 games. They're hitting .370, averaging 14 runs a game. I just want you to know that they're on pace, right? Oh, they've also hit 25 homers. 25. All these lead the nation, just so you guys are aware. They lead the ACC in homers, second in the nation, 25 homers, I should mention. They're on pace to hit 156 home runs in the regular season. The regular season. Tennessee at 158 in 66 games. That's 10 more games that Wake would have at their disposal to break break 2 homers if they stay on this stretch. They've also are on pace to score 759 runs. The record in the NCAA is 858, but Wichita State did that in 87 games. And they averaged only 12 runs per game. Wake's averaging 14. Yes, I get it. The couch is small. I understand. It's a launching pad. But, I mean, if Adam Cesari and Brock Wilkin keep hitting like they're hitting, it doesn't matter where they're going to be. Those dudes are hitting absolute tanks. And let's not forget about the pitching, because this is why it's more impressive that Wake is 9-0. Second straight year they've started 9-0, by the way. They have struck out 126 batters, just 20 walks, and only allowed 14 runs in 9 games. 14, 1.6 runs per game. Batters are hitting .156 against the Deeks pitching staff. Ridiculous. They're insane. I have not seen numbers like this to start the season in a long, maybe ever. I don't even know. They're also averaging 14 strikeouts a game and on pace for 784.
I think I saw Tom Walter say something sort of in jest, too, like it was to be funny. I saw Les Johns of Demon Deacon Digest, CBS Sports kind of connection to covering the Deeks, also writes to the website godeeks.com. He said that Walter said, I think this was after the 6-0 game, because they had won 6-0 game, and it was not the amount of offense that we have been accustomed to seeing from Wake Forest in the first 2 weeks. He said, yeah, you know, our bats just, you know, aren't there. You know, we're just not swinging it well right now. We're just having trouble, you know. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, you can't score 15, 20 runs every single
they
game.
They can. Their offense is ridiculous.
Yeah, when they're playing at the couch.
They have 2 guys in their lineup that are hitting under .290 right now. 2. 2. Nuts. This team is for real. I get it. The numbers are probably a little inflated from playing at the couch, and they've played nobody. Like, let's not be shy about it. They've played no one. The best team they've played is Illinois, and they beat them twice. But regardless, the numbers are gargantuan. You can't overlook these.
They played Mount St. Mary's twice over the weekend. Did you give this number already?
No.
Was I listening? The combined score against Mount St. Mary's was 33-3.
Yeah. They're bad teams. I get it. But
they beat up on Illinois the weekend prior, right. And Illinois just went to Southern Miss and took 2 out of 3. Can we use this as our pivot for 3 up and 3 down?
I was going the same way.
Okay. Ciceri, you said, had 6 home runs. My guy, Jack Caglione, since he became all Shass, he's hit 6 home runs. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and salivate some more for my dude from Gainesville, Jack Caglione, who didn't throw it the way we saw him in opening weekend in his Sunday start. But the dude hit 3 home runs on Sunday alone. And then in the midweek, the day that we inducted him into first-team All-Shass, the forever All-Shass team, he hit a home run in the midweek.
He also hit one on Friday.
And he hit one on Friday. The only game he didn't hit a home run in was Saturday.
He had 5 home runs since you inducted him.
All 6 of them came since, because Tuesday midweek.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
All six of his home runs. The dude is tied for the lead in the country, tied for 3, okay, right? Yeah. 3 players each with 6. More on that third coming up later.
There's 4.
Oh, there's 4?
Yeah, Wilken and Ciceri for Wake each have 6.
Oh, gosh. Okay. My God. But Caglione, who didn't pitch at all, just played, he was a DH last year. Did he play any first? I'm trying to think back to Hoover.
I want to say he pinched, like defensively played first a couple of times.
He might have played first a few times. He was a top first baseman.
It wasn't
coming
anything
out of,
to write home about. He mainly was just a mashing machine.
Just because he picked up a bat and took BP one day with Soli. This was like two months into the season when he had already undergone Tommy John. Didn't throw a game at all last year during his freshman season. Fourth rated lefty in the country. Now he's throwing. You can't keep his bat out of the lineup. And the dude is just raking. 6 home runs for Caglione. I love it. You love to see it. My boy is delivering. Rocco Pepi is going to be in North Carolina this weekend too. Long Beach State.
Oh, no, you're going to be gone. Yeah.
No, I'll be in Greenville. Maybe I can go from Greenville to Greenville. I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina. Rocco Pepi will be in Greenville, North Carolina. I mean, when stars align, they certainly do align. Juicy Juice, Shass, and Cags. Get jacked. Hashtag jacked. This guy.
By the way, we should mention Florida swept Cincinnati. Sweep that under the rug with the whole Jack Caglione, craziness that everyone has in their head. Gators are 7-1 now. They scored 13 runs in each game against Cincinnati.
Serber, can you look up Jack Caglione and tell me, just Google Caglione, Caglione.
No, it's N-O-N-E.
N-O-N-E.
Yeah.
Jack Caglione, Florida Gators, and tell me he is not the most handsome man that you have seen in your entire life. Among them.
While he's doing that, Gators have 7 players
very
hitting
attractive.
Above 315.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Gators have 7 players in their starting lineup hitting 315 or better. Cade Kurland, 542.
And they turned it on late last year. Like, they were not a good hitting team last year.
Yes, but look, nothing matters in the regular season for Florida, because until they host another regional and win the regional, it don't matter.
It's true.
It don't matter. They've gone back-to-back years where they have hosted in Gainesville and not advanced. Come on, Florida. Put it together. I mean, this is the team. We talked about the pitching. Brandon Sproat, Hurston Waldrop. Sproat's been, his first couple starts have not been great. Waldrop's been fine. But Sproat, I don't know. ERA above 5, it's a little high for Mr. Brandon right there.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Oh,
when I saw that Cags hit the 6 home runs, though, my reaction to you in a DM, I slid up in there.
You did.
Dude, Cags hit 6 bombs since his induction of the All Shass Forever Dude Squad. 3 today alone. Fire emoji, 2 hard eye emojis.
I do enjoy the hard eye emojis.
Yeah.
You send those quite a bit.
It's among my favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very, very, I think that was a late night DM too. That was a.
Serbs, what's your favorite emoji?
Ooh.
Poop.
Very fitting.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. You're a big poop guy. I'm a big hard eye, fire, and probably devil.
I use the laughing face one a lot. Yeah. Or actually, you know what? This is my favorite one. That one. I love that one.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so three
you
up.
You strike me as more of an eggplant guy.
I've never used that one. That one's just weird. All right, so three up. What? We had Florida, Wake Forest, East Carolina. Any honorable mentions to get to?
Florida, Wake, East Carolina we touched on. I like what UCSB, the Gauchos, did over the weekend, going to Eugene.
Yep.
And winning every single game. Sweeping the Ducks 6-2, 10-0, and 4-1. It was never really close at all. The Gauchos went there and made a statement.
20-3 in the series.
They'll have I got their schedule up now. They'll have Xavier this weekend, Pepperdine the midweek, then Seton Hall. So Big West opener isn't until Friday the 17th against Cal Bakersfield.
Yeah, a couple other ones that we should mention. West Virginia, they struggled against Georgia Southern to begin the season because their bullpen blew the first two games of the series. They could very easily be 6-1 right now, but they lost the first two games because their bullpen blew early leads that they had. They won the final game. Then they go to College Park, beat number 13 Maryland in College Park. Big win for them. And then they go to face another regional team in Arizona, take 2 of 3 from the Wildcats. Shass, Mazie Ball is alive and well for the 2023 West Virginia Mountaineers. They've stolen home twice this season. Twice. They did it in the 11th inning on Friday against Arizona to take the lead in the top of the 11th. J.J. Weatherholt swiped home. Mountaineers won 6-5. They took the middle game. Got walloped on Sunday, but still a really, really good series win for West Virginia. And then we talked about Vanderbilt, but I mentioned this story earlier. I need to tell the story. So we talked about their catcher, right? Darius Perry, who threw out Enrique Bradfield twice in the series.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, dude's a stud.
Right. So you'll remember last year the catcher for UCLA was Tommy Barris, right? The guy who had the walk-off home run in the 25-22 Pac-12 tournament game. Remember that crazy final we were watching in Hoover? Barris hit the winner. So apparently before this season, he and Perry were slated to split time. It was a tandem. Before the season, Barris quit baseball to join a frat at UCLA.
Really?
Yes. He quit. I found this story randomly online somewhere. I don't even remember where I found it. I was scrolling through Twitter late night and I saw something about this. He quit baseball to join a frat. So Perry is now catching every single game this season for UCLA because they don't have anybody else.
Wow.
And apparently, the person who did this story, very detailed, they followed up. It looks like Perry has since quit the frat.
Oh, man, what are we doing?
I don't know.
I mean, who's he consulting with out there in Westwood?
When I saw this story, I mean, listen, this is not confirmed because I just saw it somewhere on the Etherverse, but it was funny enough I had to mention it.
So, is he consulting with Josh Rosen? I mean, what is going on? I mean, just get a hot tub in your dorm. Come on, why do you got to quit baseball, join a frat, only to quit the frat? Serbs, you need to get Wayne Cook on this. You need to get Cookie on it. By the way, awesome job hosting the college football edition of College Sports Now that released on Saturday. If you go back 2 episodes on this audio feed, it'll hit your podcast feed on Wednesday. And Serbs leaves us immediately, so we'll find a way to get him back in as I give him props. But the audio version of this baseball pod will hit your feed on Wednesday morning. If you go back 2 episodes, go prior to Hartzell and Norlander's basketball recap on Monday. There's one from Serber, Wayne Cook of the UCLA Radio Network, former Bruin quarterback. He's awesome. And then Michael Felder. Felder of, what's he of now? Bleacher Report. Formerly of Stadium TV as well.
Yep.
Felder's everywhere on social media. Awesome stuff. And Serber was directing traffic. He was running the pod. Did you listen any?
I didn't get to listen to it, but I heard that Stephen Hartzell made a cameo appearance on that podcast. Serber ran the ship, but Hartzell dropped in for a little, you know, sprinkle of Stephen H.
He did, yeah. He was in very early on. But there's so much to talk about with college football. It's a year-long sport at this point. You and I are trying to make college baseball year-long. We've done a good job to this point. So, and we're 2 weeks in. So where do we want to go next? We've talked about the teams that are trending up, trending down. How about them?
Yeah, so we've got A&M. Touched on them.
Yeah.
Southern Miss, we briefly mentioned it, but Illinois came in, took 2 of 3. The biggest thing for Southern Miss is their pitching kind of faltered, like, oddly. Tanner Hall, supposed to be this, you know, one of the top pitchers in the entire conference for Southern Miss, he gets roughed up, 5 runs on 6 hits in his start.
You could say that was his worst career start ever. He had given up 5 runs only one time, I think, before.
Right, but the pitching overall this weekend gives up 35 runs and walks 23 batters. Unacceptable against Illinois. Like, the Big Ten is trying. They are just using every ounce of energy they have to show out this year and be a part of the college baseball conversation. And I give them props for it because they've been irrelevant besides Michigan, you know, going to that 2019 College World Series and almost beating Tim Corbin and Vanderbilt in Omaha. But they've been irrelevant, right? So hat tip to the Big Ten for trying to be a part of the college baseball picture. Will it stay up? I don't know, but we'll see. And the other one, we don't need to bring Serbs down anymore. Is he back on yet? But Clemson.
No, I'm waiting for him to hop back in.
Okay, well, it's Clemson. They got swept by UCF. Knights hit 9 homers over the weekend. And, yeah, it's just a rough weekend in South Carolina. And then you get embarrassed because UCF takes your tradition and does it over you.
You know what would go a long way, though, in putting a sweep at the hands of UCF behind you? You've got your in-state rival coming up
sure
this weekend. Might be – ooh, look at that guy run. Man, I'm jelly. He's got a shirt popped off. He's sprinting down the middle of the road.
Can he be on the All-Shass team?
Dude, he's worthy. He's got the physique, man. I got to go out there and show him up. Clemson and South Carolina this weekend. I'm thinking about my
Surefire lock?
My Surefire Shass lock. I'm going to save it. I don't think I'm going to go to Columbia. No, they're going Clemson for one, mm-hmm. Greenville for the middle game, and then Columbia for the third.
Okay.
Kind of similar to what ECU and North Carolina were trying to do, although two were at Greenville. No, I got nothing else, man, on the downward swing. I mean, Southern Miss for sure, A&M, Clemson. Trying to think off the top of my head who.
All right, well, let me run through the lineup card then real quick because Serbs is trying to get back in, so why don't you help him troubleshoot while I do this. So we mentioned some of the midweek games here going on. Number one, LSU at Texas. That's tonight, Tuesday, if you're watching this live. If you're listening to the podcast that drops later on this afternoon, still get to it tonight. 7:30 p.m., LSU at Texas. Also at 7:30, big week for Dallas Baptist, one of the 12 unbeaten teams across college baseball, which I don't know if we mentioned them all, so let me run through that real quick. Alabama, App State, DBU, Georgia Tech undefeated, Lamar, Morehead State, NC State, South Carolina, who takes on Clemson, Texas Tech, Troy, Virginia, and Wake Forest, who leads the country with 9 wins. So that midweek, Dallas Baptist is hosting number 10 TCU, who lost that series to Florida State over the weekend. That's also at 7:30 tonight. Then East Carolina at Duke. That's today at 4 p.m. coming back in the midweek slate. The weekend slate, this is the weekend full of tournaments. There are 5 major tournaments going on this weekend that I felt, you know, worthy of mentioning. If there are more, sorry I missed them, but there's too many. The Cambria College Classic in Minneapolis, the first one I saw, includes 3 ranked teams, Ole Miss, Vandy, and Maryland. You've got Minnesota, Nebraska, and Hawaii joining them. The Shriner Children's Classic, College Classic in Houston. You got A&M, TCU, Louisville, Michigan, Texas Tech, and Rice. Great group of teams. Maybe not including Rice, but okay. Frisco College Baseball Classic, also in Texas. Oklahoma, Cal, Mississippi State, Ohio State. The LeClaire Classic, which is hosted by ECU. They have Indiana, Long Beach State, and Georgetown. That's kind of a downer bit of a series, but still worth mentioning with ECU being as good as they've been.
Juicy Juice, Rocco Pepe.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you're excited for your Long Beach dirt bag to come on in. And the Southern California College Baseball Classic. That is a mouthful. In L.A., UCLA, Tulane, USC, and Sacramento State. Now, the big intrigue here is Tulane taking on their former head coach in Travis Jewett, who now is an assistant coach with the Trojans of USC. So they're going to play this weekend. And his Travis Jewett's former hitting coach, Jay Ullman, is now the head coach at Tulane University. Wave have started horribly this year.
I was listening
horribly
to your boy in the end of the game Friday night,
yeah,
driving back from Campbell,
yeah,
after calling some softball.
Yeah.
And
14 innings by yourself, by the way. What? Bravo. That's hard.
Yeah, voice just shut off right after. Spent all Saturday recouping, was able to put my best foot forward for the Duke and Baylor game on Sunday. But Corey, listening to Corey, you can tell how miserable that spot was for Tulane, who coughed up, what was it? What were they ahead on St. John's? It was like 2 or 3 runs. They had a review.
It was bad.
Yeah, it's been a forgettable start for the Green Wave for sure. Looking at some of these tournaments, I mean, I don't know about you. Where are we at in the dock? You want to go? You're right. It's tournament weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tournament galore. There are some great games that are on the docket this weekend and some phenomenal midweek games as well, which you touched on. My favorite being LSU at Texas. That is a 7:30 Eastern start. I'm going to give you my surefire lock of the weekend. Are you ready for this?
Write it down. You put it on the board? He's got to put it on the board. We're trying to use props here, folks, because we have video. You can see our faces. I'm trying to incorporate additional pieces that we can add to the show, and Shass just completely forgot about my pre-show.
I didn't forget about
meeting
the board
suggestion.
All right.
Hasn't written it yet. All right.
So here we go.
What do we got?
Here's the logic.
Okay, I'm going to watch the stream as you unveil this.
Find the schedule here. Mississippi State dropped game one against Arizona State, 13-4. Panic continuing to settle in Stark Vegas.
I love the setup.
Chris Lemonis losing his team again. The World Series National Championship hangover. Is it going to last not one but two seasons? Not so fast. They win the final two games of the series against the Sun Devils, 5-1 and 16-3. They got Southern Miss on Tuesday in the midweek. Phenomenal game. That'll be played in Pearl. I don't know if they're going to win that one. I'm not going to go as far to say as they're going to have an undefeated week, but I will tell you that Mississippi State is going to go to Frisco, and they are going to go 3-0.
Oh.
They aren't losing a game this weekend in Frisco, Texas. That's right. Mississippi State weekend sweep.
So that's against Oklahoma, Cal, and Ohio State. They're winning all three.
See that? There it is. So we had Tennessee loses.
Yeah.
That's hit. ECU sweeps UNC. They only played two of the three games, but Pirates won them both in comeback fashion.
You know what? They'll win the third when they play it again.
Yeah. I'll have to make sure all this fits for next week, right, when we add to it. But in the moment,
huge.
This is your handwriting. This is my handwriting. Hey, I like things big, okay? Mississippi. What do you think, server? Mississippi State weekend sweep in Frisco. They go 3-0 in Frisco. How you like that? And that would get the Bulldogs, even if they lose against Southern Miss, where are we at? That would get them to 8-4. Things are trending. The train is starting to find its way on the appropriate track that's going to get them to the proper station. And that being Hoover.
Serves take it.
Who doesn't like big things? Come on.
I also like things that are big.
I'm so sweaty right now.
I'm so glad we incorporated the board. That was phenomenal. Okay, great log. You're 2-0. You're 2-0. Before we get, as we get to our dudes of the week, it's time to name a new member of the All Shass team, because you're 2-0 in that category as well. Rocco Pepe presumably is going to come to LeClaire, the Greenville this weekend, the LeClaire Classic, and put on the show of all shows. He's going to be the greatest showman, if you will. Who you got? I mean, who's going to dominate now this next week?
It is slugger Jake Tyser.
Oh, Old Dominion.
I'm going to Old Dominion. Give me the Monarch. He is a 6'7", 245-pound junior that absolutely obliterates the baseball for a living. He's got 6 home runs. He's tied for the national lead with 3 others, so he tied for 4th, or 4 guys, all with 6 bombs, including 2 from Wake Forest. I think I'm going to stick my nose up and just keep Wake Forest at arm's length.
Are they your Virginia Tech this year?
I think they are.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm going
listen,
to poo-poo.
Evan Hughes will be thrilled that you're no longer hating on the Hokies.
I'm going to Cerber poo-poo emoji Wake Forest from here on out, okay? But give me – and it's because too many of them are hitting home runs. I mean, which one do you pick, you know? With Old Dominion and ODU, Jake Tyser, this is something he's been doing, all right? If you look at his career numbers – of course, their stat page wouldn't even won't even update for me. Old Dominion, do better. Gosh. All right, Jake Tyser.
He's your all Shasser. Yeah. And your dude of the week.
Yeah, out of Prescott Valley, Arizona. But if you look at his player page and even his Twitter page, which, by the way, follow him on Twitter, at Jake Tyser 2.
T-I-C-E-R,
he's got this
by the
big,
way.
Massive. You talk about props. Virginia Tech moving the dugout fence so they can do the hammer inside the dug, right?
You noticed.
Yes. Yeah. They moved that. That genius. Yeah. Can't slip one past the goalie in Blacksburg. Jake Tyser is wearing this thick chain in his profile photo. And if you search Tyser and look at his player page on the Old Dominion official website, you'll see that that chain has like a vanity license plate, like a souvenir license plate attached to it.
Yeah.
That says, if you can't run with the big dogs, trying to zoom in here, see a little bit more. Stay on the porch.
You know what would go well with that,
how about that
chain and the plate?
Yeah.
Your pit vipers.
Ooh, they would.
That
would
be a look.
My favorite part about the 6'7", 245-pound Jake Tyser, though, is that he's got quite the ensemble of facial hair and doesn't give the slightest damn about how well-groomed it looks. He lets that thing just flow and explode and just fray out in every which direction. It's scruffy. It's sloppy. I don't think he knows what trimming is or grooming. That's a hairy man.
Did they teach you how to do that in Suffolk County, Virginia? Right? That's where they are, Norfolk, Virginia?
Norfolk, yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. Yeah. There's your answer.
So, but he's from Arizona. Come on.
So,
and I looked at his recruiting. He didn't have a speckle of hair.
Exactly.
Not even
because he didn't
fuzz.
Grow it until he went to college. No. That's what I'm saying. He went to Norfolk and he got corrupted. He's been corrupt.
He's
a corrupt monarch. Corrupt monarch right there.
He was hitting .471 with 5 dongs even before the series began this past weekend against Fordham. 6'7", 245.
Why are we making dongs a thing?
That is a word. That's a word for home run.
That
Michael
is a dong.
That
come
is,
on.
Absolutely. Yep. A dong, a ding dong. That is a word for a home run.
Dinger.
Yeah.
I've heard ding. I've not heard dong.
Yeah, dinger and dongs, man.
Yeah, ding dong.
Come on, man.
Ding dong. My dude of the week, Liam McFadden Ackman. Respect on that name for the Northern Kentucky Norse. We're 6-1 now, best start since 1990, large in part to this man, who also, I feel like, could be a future All-Shass team member. Maybe. He's on the table. Consideration the committee will huddle and discuss. On Sunday, this man, Shass, 2 grand slams in the first inning. 2 in one inning. And then he says, you know what, I'm also going to go for the cycle. In the 6th. He had a single in the 6th. Completed the cycle with 2 grannies. Northern Kentucky won 27-4, I believe, on Sunday to sweep Western Michigan. But
that's not all.
My man, Liam McFadden Ackman, stud of the week.
The fact that he went for the cycle in the process.
Yeah.
Like, that is just doubly.
He did it backwards.
Doubly impressive. That is amazing.
Have you ever done something great enough where you have hit that would equal that type of athletic performance? 2 grand slams and a cycle in the same game? Not athletically, but like in general, in your life. Is there anything in your life that equates to that?
I mean, I ate 13 pancakes on Friday,
yeah,
and I thought
lost.
That was pretty cool, but it wasn't the most in our building.
Luke Hallett. 16 pancakes. Outdid this man right here, Kyle Schassberger. I was sitting next to Schass. You were not happy.
No.
My roommate, by the way, Luke Hallett, representing for our household. Well done.
I think anything in comparison to that is probably, I'm still while I'm aging, I still think it's a little, I'm a little young in terms of professional achievement. So like, okay, there's so many things that I want to achieve. Personally, I would say, you know, being a dad is pretty sure. cool, but like, that's spread out over time. Like, I don't know if I could have a two. We talk about hitting for the cycle in a day. We use it as a metaphor for life and having a great day. What are four things you've done stacked up to be able to find life's greatest satisfaction in a single 24-hour period? But to hit for the cycle and hit two grand slams in the process, like, man, like, I don't know. That's being on the top of the professional mountaintop that you are seeking, being a happy, you know, father and husband, all of those things, and you know, having deep pockets at the same time. So I've got a while.
You could definitely eat two grand slam breakfasts at Denny's, but like, Waffle House where we were yesterday.
Anything that I would want to compare to that would be going into the way back machine to my time in college, and I don't know if that's appropriate right now.
Probably. Well, we've already gone way over the rails with that. Michael Serber, anything that you think you have in your life that equates to that performance from Liam McFadden Ackman?
Sex.
There it is. The sexual peak and mountaintop, the high that
I
is.
I mean, look, you can see the face of Michael Serber right now in full HD color. I agree. Yeah. It's unbeatable.
It's 100% sex. It's the only thing. All the other things, you can put them out there all you want to. The number one, the only thing that equates to that is sex.
All right. Look, we got to get out of here. You got to go to Greenville. Have a great trip, by the way. Hat tips on the way out. Michael Serber, kick it off.
Tip my cap to you guys for putting this together. Tip my cap to Kyle Shask. Called some Duke baseball over the weekend. That I don't think you really mentioned that. That's why. That's one of the reasons your voice. You guys talked about calling games, but
I think you went off air when we mentioned this. But yeah.
But yeah, I believe Duke and Durham is near and dear to your heart, considering you're usually in the studio. So to be behind the mic calling the game, I'm really proud of you, buddy. And I'm happy that you got to do that over the weekend.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I know you're a huge supporter of us. We're a huge supporter of you. When you dipped out of the chat earlier during this live show, I was giving you props for the way you hosted the college football show.
Absolutely.
And traffic copped Wayne Cook and Michael Felder. So again, that content, go back two episodes. You got... as well, Norlander and Hartzold, two times a week with the basketball pod. You got the women's basketball podcast as well with Rob Joyce, who I'll be traveling to Greenville with. So a lot of content we're pushing out on this feed. Plenty of Michael Serber, trust me. Also, Hand in the Dirt at HitDPod on Twitter. Serber, you the man, man. He is the content machine. Hat tip from you? Yeah.
You mentioned the hammer for Virginia Tech so they can do it in the dugout.
Eastern Illinois.
Yes.
The tiny hammer.
Yes.
It's like the mallet hammer.
That's my hat tip. So set the scene. So Eastern Illinois wins the game on Sunday against Arkansas in Fayetteville. They rout them 12-3. And after the game, they're doing the little post-game talk, and they got their arms around each other and saying, ooh, rah, rah, we beat Arkansas, yay, yay. None of that. Instead, they take a mini hammer and sling it over their shoulder, and the entire team goes, boom. It's on Twitter. It's phenomenal. Search it if you haven't seen it yet. I love the ingenuity to bring in the mini hammer as a part of the celebration. That's my hat tip to Eastern Illinois for keeping the hammer alive and showing the NCAA that it will never die. The hammer lives forever. The Hebrew hammer says so.
Take it from the Hebrew hammer when it comes to hammers, folks. David Kahn is your guy. I failed to mention Florida and Cags when he had the three homers on Sunday. Those three were of eight that Florida hit in that game, in the clinching sweep, most in a game for them ever. Cags had a 449-foot bomb in that game. 450, 110 exit velo, 26-degree launch angle, six on the season again, three coming Sunday alone. Another dude that I do want to highlight, hat tip to him, South Carolina's Noah Hall, who Clemson will see this weekend at some point. In the game against Penn, he was terrific over the weekend. Trying to pull up his numbers. The dude was, let's see, I lost it. Either way, Noah Hall was spectacular over the weekend against Penn for South Carolina in a tight series. You brought up Penn knocking off Texas A&M a year ago. They were kind of a fringe bubble team. We don't know what Portland's going to be. We do know that...
I want Peter Allegro at Omaha. I said this last year. God. I want a savage backflip in Omaha after Peter Allegro gets a save for the Pilots. If that happens, I can die happily right now. I prom, you know, joking, but... Aiden, I will be a that will be my peak of the college baseball season if Peter Allegro does a savage backflip at Charles Schwab Field. Just make it happen. Yes.
Right. On Saturday for Hall, it was 12 strikeouts in 8 innings, 98 pitches, and he had allowed 3 hits. So Noah Hall, pretty good Saturday pitcher for South Carolina for sure. I'm just emptying the notebook real quick. I know there was one more thing I wanted to get to. My main hat tip was the ballpark attractions at ballparks, at baseball fields in general. Drew Bianco diving over the center field wall. This was the Corpus Christi minor league field. Bianco now playing at Houston. Yep. He was playing center field, dove, robbed a home run, flew over the fence, kids climbing up the playground equipment and everything. As somebody with a 7-year-old himself, love the carousel in center field out at Truist Stadium, whatever the hell, Truist Ballpark, the home of the Winston-Salem
Truist
Dash.
Something.
Truist, whatever it is. It's amazing. So you got to love ballpark entertainment. And minor league baseball will be here within the month. 5-6 weeks, right?
April.
We'll be able to start going to Dash games.
April, yes. Yeah. We can go to Dash games again. That'll be fun. Ballpark attractions are phenomenal. You know, I've seen everything in my 5 years in the minor leagues going around and I've been, you know what my favorite is? There's a lazy river at Dr. Pepper Ballpark in Frisco, Texas, home of the Frisco Rough Riders. There's a lazy river, and on Thursdays, they do a Thirsty Thursday special where it's adults only in the lazy river, and they serve you drinks on the lazy river.
Oh, that's awesome.
Frisco Rough Riders, hat tip, one of the top organizations in minor league baseball, by the way.
Serbs, Kyle, we have more time next week. Let's talk full swing. Serbs, I know you gave a great download with Wayne and Felder. I loved it. I'm only 4 or 5 episodes in at this point, but it's
binge.
Incredible.
I will
on
binge
Netflix.
Before Tuesday. It's
so
on my queue.
Homework for you all watching right now or listening. Full Swing, PGA Tour documentary, which it's incredible that it lined up with LIV Golf, basically infiltrating the PGA Tour. Some tremendous personal stories. We'll talk about that. Also, Outer Banks, Season 3, which I think far overcomes what Season 2 was so far.
Okay, so I need to watch both of those by next Tuesday.
All right,
well,
let's get the hell out of here.
Yeah, go to Greenville.
All right, at SportsCom4, at L_Cerberino. I'm at Kyle Shass. Again, Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll be back with you next week. And for all you audio nerds, this will hit your feed Wednesday morning. Thanks. Bye.